I don't know about you guys, but it feels like a great day for a big board draft. And today's goal is to identify the best pick in every round of the draft. Now, do I know who's going to score the most right now? No, I'm not seeing into the future. Do I know who's going to be the best player relative to ADP in each round? No, I don't know that either, but I will do it for myself. I will also identify my favorite player in each round, and we're going to do it starting right now here. Of course, I am already in a big board. Draft is filled. A few familiars here. Mr., of course, top 10 finisher, top 5? I forget what it was. Top 5 or top 10 last year, Mr. in the 3-hole. And besides that, our guy, you don't even know, our guy Carlos in the 12-hole, but nobody I don't like. So we're doing all right here to start off. I'm feeling lucky today, guys. I don't know what it is. Today I was doing the Probably video, of course, for my sports betting app. I do a video every day with the best bets for either NBA or MLB right now, NFL when that's season as well. And did a video this morning. It was like, you know what? All these bets are lining up where it's like 50-50 probability plus money bets. Like, I'm feeling like these are good bets today. For some reason, I feel that way about the big board. So let's see how my dick gets kicked in over the course of the next few rounds here. But round one, who's the best player in round one? Some guys we're going to have coming up here. I think this is the round where certainly you can choose your own adventure. You can make the case for CeeDee Lamb being great once again for what he showed in particular the back half of last year. Tyreek could have gotten a 2K yards, ended up getting hurt, didn't get there. Can he do it this year as one final bow for him where he thinks he's going to retire soon? Jamar Chase getting better in a Bengals offense that should be improved by just having a healthy Joe Burrow. Maybe the loss of T. Higgins can get him there. Jefferson, a new offense as well, new opportunity for him to maybe consolidate some targets, especially first couple months of the year with T.J. Hockenson. You got Bijan and an Atlanta offense everybody wants to buy in on. Breece Hall is the one that I feel like, no. I just feel like absolutely no chance. There's just no way you can do what he did last year, even a concentration of targets for him that helped him prop up every game. I don't see that. Monra, I think, as well, going the opposite direction. Puka, though, in some respects, a man coming off a historic rookie year, did not win rookie of the year for himself, even though probably can make the case he deserved it, but you know, QB play. Puka Nacua, though, he could have a great year, right? Is he the best pick in round one relative to ADP? No, but I'm going to talk myself into it. My favorite pick, I think, for the first round would still be Justin Jefferson. What he does as a player, even looking back, our guy Jaden yesterday asked me to look up Justin Jefferson's numbers in college, did look him up at LSU his senior year, or I guess his last year before he went to the draft alongside Jamar Chase. And for what it's worth, Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson's numbers look a lot like Malik Nabers and also Brian Thomas's numbers. Different target rates because I think Chase and Jefferson are more one-to-one in terms of talent. But I do think if you want to kind of catch up on the debate yesterday, we had a little bit here on the channel. I really feel like just looking at the numbers, like these are just two great players. Just the issue is that Nabers is a monster target earner and Brian Thomas is like an okay target earner who maybe isn't as good next to a superstar player, but kind of going around a bunch of points there. Puka Nacua though, best pick in round one. We can all agree right now. Sup, you sexy bitches. Shit, I thought Spags knew. I don't know. Is there a Probably channel? Yes, at Probably app on YouTube is it. Go check it out. I do videos every day there. They're quick ones though. They're not live. So they're a little bit of different energy than what we do here. All right. In this round, got a lot of guys here. I put Achane on the thumbnail. Certainly don't mind him, though. I think it's hard for him to do the best pick in this round, unless we did see Mostert get hurt and we have a shot at Achane going nuts. Drake London's got a shot to be the best pick in this round, right? Going into this new offense, I don't get a lot of shares of Drake London. I feel like Rams-Atlanta being a Week 17 matchup just feels right today, and we're lucky. So we're going to take Drake London at pick 16. Ugh. Feels gross, but I guess you got snatch catchers here. Snatch catchers is in every room of mine lately, so they must be a secret splash play regular, would be my guess. But they take Marvin Harrison at 14. We'll take Drake London at 16. Be setting for Probably videos every morning, usually in the 9 to 10 a.m. hour, so check that out. But definitely, you know, doing well with Probably. It's still sports betting, though, and I feel like that's the hard part is I'm marketing against people that go, every pick's a lock. And it's like, I'm going, hey, man, you want free money? You're not going to fucking find it. It's like how I open my videos. Like, you want free money? It's not in sports betting, but I'll give you some good bets based on what math says, like kind of thing. So that's the sports betting industry right now. A lot of articles every day to the point that I kind of feel like anti-betting lobbyists are like seeding things or PR firms, whatever the case may be. The Athletic every day is a new traumatic article about betting. Today they had two, where one about NBA players and betting, one about college basketball bench warmers and betting. It's just like, I get betting right now is like not a great thing. It has to find its depth a little bit, but it feels like a concerted attack to get betting to be less prominent. And I wouldn't be shocked if we end up with some UK style rules of betting not being able to be advertised But yeah, that's why we have probably is because the more that betting is advertised and people get in, it's like they don't know what they're doing. And ultimately, betting is a game of probabilities. And that's not the sexiest thing about it. But, you know, everything in life, best ball, too, it's all a game of probabilities. Been watching for the second year now. Thank you for your content. Some of the best snatch catcher out. Oh, Christopher Snatch Catcher. Okay. Good to know. Good to know. I'm glad to meet Christopher. I feel like when you've given nice chats here, I've never once thought that here could be the man I'm talking to Snatch Catcher, but it turns out Christopher, and shout out to Christopher's. Hey, it's a Christopher day in chat. I was actually thinking about turning on, and I will someday, just for it to make the members feel special, members only chat for the day, because I, you know, we have enough members now. We have like 60 members on the channel that I want to make sure they feel appropriately valued, especially until I can get out the Spags rankings after the draft. And, you know, for this, like right now, like moments like this, I wouldn't know who Snatch Catcher was if I had put it on members only. So, and I would lose Adam, Adam, who loves the channel, but won't give me money. Did you hear Reese Davis call sports betting a risk-free investment? Yeah, he said he did it sarcastically, but that was one that went viral as well. Bad luck for him with what he's talking to Aaron Kate Dolan, who I think is sharper than some of the other ones out there. I will say, you know, while we're talking about female cappers, I think Cynthia Freeland, bit of a fake sharp. I think that Aaron Kate Dolan, real sharp. Those are my two takes that might be hot here. And, you know, not misogynistic anyway. All the male bet guys, they're all awful, to be clear. Everybody really, the worst guy, though, is the betting pros guy, who I think seems like a nice dude, Peralt or whatever. Like, and it's just his videos. And he might be a great guy. His videos, though, are my least favorite. We're just opening every day with either apologizing or going like, I went 6-0 yesterday and the Discord knew about it. It's like, okay. Betting is hard. Betting content is very difficult. Tank Dell goes at 30. Nice ADP for him. Debo at 29. Also a nice ADP. Still have the faint shot that Brandon Ayuk gets traded for those guys. Round two. Let's make the final verdict here. Round two, favorite pick. Favorite pick is Marvin Harrison. Probably best pick, I think, has a good shot to be Drake London. Diggs being improved is still there. You know, like that's, but I think that's a lower probability at this point. I know all you QB fans would really love to see Josh Allen be the one for round two, but I do not think there's any shot he's the best pick in round two because any QB can outscore him. Would have happily taken Malik Nabers at pick 33. We will not do that. Rashee Rice feels like some of the lawyers on Twitter think it's more of a misdemeanor coming up for him. And I'm not talking about Missy Misdemeanor Elliott. You know what? People always critique me for not going elite tight end, and we didn't get Amon-Ra St. Brown in round one. So let's go with Sam Laporta here. I like Sam Laporta still. I think it's a little bit of a steep price tag for him, to be honest. I think the top five tight ends to me, frankly, top 8 to 10 probably are going to have similar ceilings for the most part. Laporta, though, being improved year two in an offense that I think is a risk that Jameson Williams gets better. Somebody else comes in the mix, takes some targets away from Amon-Ra and Laporta. You know, I'm happy to get Laporta here. Favorite pick for me in round three is Malik Nabers. I think you guys know that if you're a regular stream watcher, the video underdog did to Malik Nabers did nothing to spook me off at all. If anything, only cemented everything I've thought about Malik Nabers, his ability to get outside, his ability to create separation, his ability. He's only 20 years old, which I didn't realize. I thought he was at least 21. The fact that he was as good as he was downfield as well, could work out of the slot, could work out wide. He's a better version of Devontae Smith. I think he is a steal in round three and would be happy to get him. Honestly, I'd be happy to take him in round two. I would take a shot at him over Pittman. I'd take a shot at him over Olave. Pretty close to DJ Moore for me. All right, Rashee Rice still falling here. And I'm going to let him continue to do that, I think. Again, Rashee Rice, I've never agreed with the ADP. This is getting closer to the range where I think he's an acceptable pick. But they could add somebody else. And I'm honestly getting a little into Romo Dunze. I didn't get my other, my other two rookies. I'm getting Romo Dunze here as my third receiver. You can make the case to just buy the dip on Rashee Rice there. I think you'd be correct if I did that. Obviously, I don't need Travis Kelce with Laporta. Odunze, though, another guy I've fallen in love with since the athletic testing did come through. As I mentioned, he is mostly a guy that just got a lot of air yards at Washington. I do think he's wide receiver three for me pretty firmly. I would say Harrison and Nabers to me, still 1A, 1B. Maybe you can make the case 1 and 2, but I think for me, 1A, 1B. For Romo Odunze, though, with how he did at the combine, being a freak athlete, everything about him character-wise seems great. And then again, he was a guy that got a lot of air yards in college. Let me pull up the numbers here so I'm not talking out entirely of my ass. Romo Odunze last year, 154 air yards per game, just behind Tez Walker out of all the rookies coming in. The issue is that he only had a 0.44 EPA per target, which actually was better than Harrison, but weighted a little bit by the fact that he got, you know, 2.8 deep targets a game. And he wasn't that great with the deep targets, actually. 2.8 deep targets a game, a 0.7 EPA, which is good, but again, about half as good as Harrison at a 1.6 EPA per target downfield, throws his 20 plus air yards. For Malik Nabers, 1.6 EPA per throws of 20 plus air yards as well at two deep targets a game. So to me, like Odunze, people think he's like this deep ball guy. I actually think Matt Harmon's take that he might be more of a Davante Adams, I think that works for me. So that's where I am with Odunze right now. Is he my favorite pick in round four? I don't think he's my favorite pick. He might end up being the best pick. My favorite and my current choice for best would either be Keenan Allen or Cooper Kupp. And I would say it's a pretty close tie. No issue with Devontae Smith. I do think things have a good shot to level out from a little bit more in a Kellen Moore offense this year, where I think we'll go back to seeing him be the 1B instead of a pure number two to AJ Brown. But I just don't, like, I'm not crazy about Devontae Smith. I am into Cooper Kupp, just buying in the dip a little bit, obviously buying in on leverage against Puka Nacua, for especially when you get to week 17, assuming Kupp can be healthy the entire year, or at least healthy for that point of the year. Keenan Allen, the part I like about him is being in that Bears offense that I think will be good from week one. And I think the fact he's a little bit cheaper than DJ Moore makes him more appealing to me too. So I think my favorite pick is probably Odunze in round four, but I would say best pick, Keenan Allen, Cooper Kupp. Trying to really live up to the name of the thumbnail today, guys, in the title of the video. Because I know sometimes I put a title on because you got to make a title every day, and I don't end up talking about the actual title that much. So hope you guys feel paid off by the premise of the video. A lot of good chats coming up here. Let me make my pick, and I'll start to catch up on those. Chad Candles here, which feels like a Tim Robinson character. But, I mean, honestly, it wouldn't be a bad one. All right. Oh, this was going to be tough. I actually was going to say if AR and if McLaurin were there, I was going to go McLaurin. So here's the thing. Marquise Brown, I think getting him, though, he's so much more expensive than he was earlier in the big board. Don't love that. AR, never an issue there. I'm just having fun today, guys. I'm feeling lucky. I'm taking guys that I really believe in. Brian Thomas is another one. Again, what have we talked about with Brian Thomas? He is now the new homeless man's Randy Moss. He's the better version of Troy Franklin. Less good target earner than Troy Franklin, but a much better body. And, you know, the performance EPA-wise, pretty similar. For last year, we had Troy Franklin at a 0.7 EPA flat. Brian Thomas, 0.63 EPA flat. So Franklin was better there. But obviously, you know, having Thomas having to compete with Nabers, going to make it more efficient, going to make it harder for him to earn targets, though. So for Thomas, I'm all over Brian Thomas right now. I done for being basically out on Kelsey given age, seeing another year efficiency decline, and readmitting they manage his workload. I don't know if top four rounds seems bad because you're still going to get, you know, 4 to 8 might be a stretch, but let's say 4 to 6, 20 point-ish games. That's enough for a tight end so for him to balance it out. And if you get one of those in week 17 and he ends up, you know, beating a Juwan Johnson or at least, you know, or whatever the equivalent of Juwan Johnson this year is, that's enough for you. So I still think he's worth the pick. But, you know, like you got to feel pretty good every other position to be willing to take that, I would think. Right on the clock here, 0041. Wouldn't mind going Kyle Pitts here for that bet on Atlanta. Joe Mixon is not a guy I get a lot of, and I do buy in on him. Just being a part of an offense is going to be a lot better. Let's do it. Joe Mixon. First RB off the board in round six. Team so far, Joe Mixon, Puka Nacua, Drake London, Romo Odunze, Brian Thomas, Sam Laporta. All right, picks for these rounds. For round four, we established my guy is Romo Odunze. Round five, my guy. My favorite in the pick, I think, is best is Terry McLaurin. Cooper is now probably a little bit too cheap. He has taken the dip I thought he would take when Jerry Jeudy got traded there. So I'm glad to see that the market reading is correct. I think that those guys would be my favorites. The best pick at this fourth round range, it might be Trey McBride. Like I think that he another year there, even if they add a Marvin Harrison, it's just going to make it more efficient. It's just going to make the offense better, give him more shot at more touchdowns. So for McBride, I think you can make a case for him being the best pick in round four. For me though, I think it'd be McLaurin, Brian Thomas, and I'd probably give a slight lean to McLaurin just because I think McLaurin should be going in this fourth round. Brian Thomas, I think appropriately priced, though. Obviously I'm still very excited to take him. Hope they are falling to you. Yeah. I mean, if he had fallen to 64, I probably would have taken him. But the team slaps. I agree. Look, I like this team. I feel good about it. And again, I think centering yourself around the concept, like who's the best pick in each round, does maybe make your guys feel highlighted a little bit more. And like Joe Mixon to me in this round, I don't mind Deontay Johnson. He's come up enough, though. Jordan Addison is probably my favorite. I think Kyle Pitts may end up the best in this round just because of him. Another year to get healthy, and offense is going to be better. We've seen Kirk Cousins provide outlier days and years for his tight ends, especially TJ Hockenson, who I'd say is less athletically gifted than a Kyle Pitts would be. So this round, though, and frankly, I think in terms of performance, you might end up seeing Joe Mixon be the best just because of being on this Houston offense that allowed Singletary to be viable every week and have some spike weeks. Mixon is going to get you a lot more touchdown equity, and I think that for him, being an efficient, being another guy who we hate seeing under a 10% avoided tackle rate, he's one of those guys. For Mixon, though, like the Houston offense being good enough is going to be great for him. And if the Houston offense takes a level up, it's going to be even better for Joe Mixon. So there's really, to me, for Mixon, like not a lot of bad outs. Thought you didn't like Mixon to the Texans. I think from the locker room perspective, yeah, like that's not the move I'd make for a young locker room. For his opportunity, though, it's to me a more appropriate ADP for a better opportunity than Saquon has. Like Saquon got a lot more money, so that's the trade-off. They could certainly move on for Mixon. There's not a big penalty there. For Saquon, though, like, you know, he's even talked in the interview, did the Kelce podcast or some podcast with Jason Kelce. I was talking about, he knows he's not gonna get those first, those 1 yard line touches because the touch push is gonna be there still. So I think for that situation, like people are really buying in on Saquon, both the historical Saquon that they know that they don't realize is gone, but also that the Eagles are gonna be so great and that he's gonna ride with that. Mixon, I think, is the, again, at pick 64 here, like a much better version of it. But yeah, if I'm the Texans, I'd take Jonathan Brooks. I would just, you know, have whatever running back in there and let Jonathan Brooks come off. And then hopefully be a guy that's a game changer in the pass game and the run game. I would take Audric Estime to be your power back. I would take, honestly, I'd take Braylon Allen as a young guy to have grow with them. Like that's how I would want a team build, but I get getting the vet in when you already were a playoff team. Bad news for Tony Pollard, officially going to be a timeshare with him and Tyjae Spears. There's recent rumors and innuendos on ESPN. I guess that's not a rumor. It was something I think they talked to the team about. Brock Bowers is my second tight end to be kind of fun. Christian Watson, the closeout wide receiver, probably the best move here, and we are going to do that. Christian Watson, wide receiver 5. Is he the best pick in this round? No. Did reply to a tweet, though, and I think actually our guy Tyler was with me on it, too. Christian Watson, seeing we're specialists for his hamstring, great. See all the specialists. It's clearly an issue. We want to see this guy do more and see guys that are going to actually help him get better. I think in this round, for me, you could start to make the case that QB would be the best pick in terms of scoring. Kyler, though, very expensive for Kyler here. Dak maybe pays off pretty well. I still think for me, Christian Watson is my favorite pick in round 7. You know, and if you get him in round 8, even better. But for Christian Watson, he just needs to be healthy enough, just needs to be good. And that would have been, you know, I think he would have had a really good last year alongside Jordan Love, especially if he'd stayed healthy down the stretch. Snatch catchers take Jordan Love despite no correlation. Christopher, not going to get mad about it because we're having a good day, but I would have loved to have gotten Jordan Love on the way back, but that's okay. We'll persevere here. Brock Bowers goes to, would have considered taking him, just still really locked down tight end, but it is what it is. Mahomes has said he's going for the NFL all-time records for Kelce. I mean, he's also going to get there longitudinally, so I don't think he needs to be like an outlier in every game to give him all-time records. I think he just has to keep playing. All right, so good pocket for running back here. Pollard, Mostert. As you guys know, I do like Mostert. This is a nice ADP for Pollard, but he's going to be coming down. I'm going Mostert. Mostert, what he did last year, he got the extension. No correlation here with anything I'm doing, but that's fine. Team so far, no QB. Joe Mixon, Raheem Mostert, Puka Nacua, Drake London, Romo Dunze, Brian Thomas Jr., Christian Watson, and Sam Laporta. Mixon's more of a zone runner, though, and that's basically the reason why Damian Pierce got benched, from what I remember. It's also that Pierce can't block, and Pierce doesn't have a lot of efficiency success, which Mixon, at least to his credit, I mean, let's compare the numbers here. I'll pull it up. Where's my NFL data? All right. Last year, on QBs. Last year, Mixon was a negative 0.03 EPA per rush, negative 0.05 EPA per pass, which frankly, for Mixon, given that he, again, 8% avoid attack, actually, no, Kamara's 8%. Mixon was 13% avoid attack rate, a little bit less bad than I thought. But for Mixon with that level of volume, not bad for Mixon. Pierce last year, negative 0.2 EPA per rush, negative 0.02 EPA per pass. So a little bit better in the pass game than Mixon was, but didn't get enough work there to really feel confident in that. Only 1.3 targets per game for Pierce. I don't know, man. I think you're really buying in on more just being tied to this offense. It's not about necessarily like being great on the 20 to 20 kind of plays. It's about the touchdown equity he's going to have there. He's going to be a much better goal line back than Singletary was. And Singletary still, I think, got a good enough amount of goal line work. Yeah, Singletary last year, 2.1 red zone rushes a game, 1.1 of which inside the 5-yard line. Like, Mixon's going to convert those touchdowns a lot better than Singletary did. And then for whatever Mixon's flaws may be, I don't think he's great either, to be clear, but he was a lot less bad than he should have been last year, and he's just enough. He's just enough in an offense. The same reason, again, I'm willing to buy in on Saquon. He's just enough in an offense that I expect to be good. Mixon is just enough in a Houston offense that I expect to be good. If they add, you know, somebody who matters, if they add Brooks, if they add somebody in free agency who's, like, actually got some juice, then maybe I'll look at it differently. But I don't think the zone running thing is what I'd worry about. Yeah, that's you'll get there on volume. It'll get there in particular in red zone volume is what I would see. Most are getting up there in age, but he has a lot less carries in his career, so it kind of evens out. Yeah, I mean, one of those things where his injuries are not reoccurring in areas that, you know, you're necessarily too worried about. So for him, just being injured has actually been maybe a positive for him because he has less hit mileage on his body overall. But yeah, I think the big issue with Pierce, though, is like he couldn't be trusted in pass blocking, which for whatever Mixon's flaws are, the Bengals trusted him heavily in pass blocking, so I don't think that's going to be an issue. See what we do coming up here. Of course, guys, new drafts coming up every Monday to Friday, 11 a.m. So please, if you're new around here, subscribe down below. Hit the like button. Leave a comment. Even if it's just an emoji, does help the YouTube algorithm show that, hey, this video matters and we should show it to more people. So please do that, of course. This is my full-time job alongside probably. Every day I show up and do the work here. And, of course, do that for you guys. Try to make sure we have good info. Have some fun. We like to have fun around here, guys. I don't know if you've heard. we like to close videos. Talking about butt fucking is what people enjoyed yesterday. I saw in the comments. Appreciate that. Of course, talking about the Nickelodeon documentary, not just general butt fuckery. Pick 105 coming up for me here. See what we're going to do. A couple interesting names on the board. Brian Robinson, like him. Zach Moss, okay with him. Tyjae just being cheaper than Pollard. I think a good thing. He should probably meet in the middle with Pollard based on what the team is saying so far. Chase Brown, I'm okay with him. Brock Purdy goes. I like Zach Moss. I don't think he should be more expensive than Brian Robinson. I am sticking with my guy here. Brian Robinson Jr. Team, again, has said he's going to be the lead back, said he's going to be the goal line back. Eckler going to be the third down back. Can Eckler take some of those touches away? Can he break long touchdowns and then Brian Thomas can get in for sure? Can Eckler also break long plays and then they sub in Brian Thomas when Eckler gets stopped inside the 5-yard line? Also sure. So for Brian Robinson, just buying in on this offense being better. And once again, I do strongly believe that Jaden Daniels goes to Washington. I haven't given my favorite picks in the last few rounds. So in this round here, I mean, frankly, if you're going to get Tony Pollard at 99, that'd probably be my favorite. I think Brian Robinson actually would be my favorite in this round, and I do think that Mostert would be my favorite in this round. Mostert, though, I would put Swift ahead of him. So for round 8, my favorite and the guy that I think will be the best, I would say, is DeAndre Swift. Mostert not too far behind. For round 9, I think it's Brian Robinson for me. And you can make the case for Lockett. Like, Lockett just shouldn't be the sheep because his role is not going to get that much worse. And if anything, the situation might get better with Ryan Grubbs there being the offensive coordinator. All right, so we have a 0-3-5-1. Obviously, we have to take QB at some point. Do I want to go Goff right now? I think I'm going to keep pushing it because I'd like to get one more good running back in here if I can. And I think that good running back is going to be Chase Brown. I think that this helps me get to my fourth running back. Obviously, that I drafted a fourth running back. So, yes, that did, in fact, help me to get to a fourth running back. But I think it also makes me feel really good about that group of four. And now I have a little bit more flexibility if I want to take that second tight end, if I want to go QB for a couple rounds in a row. I think I can do that a little bit better. So, my team so far at running back, Joe Mixon, Raheem Mostert, Brian Robinson Jr., and Chase Brown. Wide receiver, Puka Nacua, Drake London, Romo Dunze, Brian Thomas Jr., and Christian Watson. And at a tight end, Sam Laporta. I like how the team is so far. I have to not get boxed out at QB. I have to still make sure I hit enough at running back, but I feel pretty good. Eckler has that breakaway speed that he showed last year. I guess. I mean, was it there last year quite as much? I'm not sure about that. I'd rather chase the volume of Singletary since Chase seemed locked into RB2 or a running back by committee. I guess so. For Chase Brown, though, I mean, especially for full point PPR, I think he's going to look a little bit better. I really think that Chase Brown's going to be good, though, at less touches. Like, he's one of those guys where, obviously, for running back, he always wanted to get as many touches, but in college, he was getting, you know, 25 to 30 touches a game, and he wasn't that good playing at Illinois, playing lesser competition. Then he's on Cincinnati, and all of a sudden, you're seeing that track speed. You're seeing him be good. I think he's just one of those guys where it's like, he shouldn't probably be getting a crazy, crazy amount of work, and if he doesn't, he'll be better for it. But you know, I like Chase Brown. I just think there's such a big opportunity, too, with how they use Joe Mixon, where if we see that upside, that the Joe Mixon five receiving touchdown kind of days that you sometimes saw for Mixon, or I guess, you know, it was five touchdown days, but I think, you know, three receiving or something in that one that I'm thinking of, Carolina, I feel like 2 years ago was the game. You know, that's one where Chase Brown is going to be maybe having more opportunity to do that game to game. So I'm excited for Chase Brown still. Oh, okay, good, good. I was like, I don't know, man. Sometimes, Adam, you got film takes. I get it. You said Underdog probably wouldn't want my name to win a big tournament. Should I change it? You should have never made it that in the first place. If your name is Snatch Catchers, you might guess, but it's not like they're going to stop you from winning the tournament. No. But you know, that's whatever. Like, unless you're, you know, Korean, unless you're like somebody who's going to be doing media, they're not going to really promote you that much anyway. So it doesn't really matter. Whatever makes you happy is what I would say. 0451 QB getting a little hungry, grabby grabbies. Ugh. I am just going to lock up Stafford because the cup guy, I believe, is coming up soon. No, the cup guy's coming up here. Snatch Catchers is cup guy. So we're not letting Snatch Catchers get a shot at Stafford. We'll take Stafford for the correlation for Puka. The logic for me, a guy who really doesn't like Stafford and a guy who's an older QB who's got back problems, like never an archetype, who doesn't run, like never an archetype I'm going to go for. But Stafford, really, for Puka to be good this year, Stafford has to be good. It's possible they could survive with backup QB play, but I just don't think Puka is worth that first round pick most likely if Stafford isn't upright for most of the year. Love his name. Don't you shame him. All right. Struggled picking running backs on shitty teams. Singletary unfortunately fits that bill. Yeah, I mean, I think that Tyler's right. The volume is really the main thing for Singletary. You just really have to get him getting enough work, and a team sometimes like the Giants, even if they're not ahead in games, are just going to keep running the ball no matter what. So he's got the role. He's probably going to have as much touchdown equity as he had last year, if not a little bit more. I would expect less, you know, less possessions inside the 20s, but, or, you know, 20 to the red zone area. But, you know, definitely he's going to have more equity in that. I would say is a pretty safe bet. All right. A 1-4-5-1 here. Nothing I want to reach up and get. I am going to just take Charbonnet for RB5. Then there's enough receivers late that we can definitely get to 7-8 receivers and it'd be perfectly fine. But five running backs, as we know, running back dries up pretty fast. And Charbonnet, ambiguous backfield, one of those ones in Seattle, people are taking Kenneth Walker like he's a starter. And he may be the starter, but Charbonnet coming in with a new coaching staff, they could easily fall in love with Charbonnet and he could end up being the Damian Pierce to that backfield. Who, again, last year, new coaching staff was the main thing. Team so far, Stafford at QB, Joe Mixon, Raheem Mostert, Brian Robinson Jr., Chase Brown, and Zach Charbonnet at running back. Wide receiver, Puka Nacua, Drake London, Romo Dunze, Brian Thomas Jr., Christian Watson, tight end Sam Laporta. Favorite picks for these rounds here? I think for round 11, Jayden Daniels will be my favorite. Jerome Ford, not too far off. Chuba coming down, I do like, though. Again, Chuba and Miles Sanders are both going to get a shot to win that backfield. You'd expect Chuba to win. Chuba, frankly, wasn't great enough last year. Sanders also not great, so kind of a mid-off there going on in Carolina. For round 11, I think my favorites would probably be Jerome Ford, Jayden Daniels. Round 10, Caleb Williams, Troy Franklin, probably the two. Chase Brown, not terribly far off. Singletary, not terribly far off. But Franklin, we've talked about here, great receiver at Oregon. Do think he'll carry some really positive traits over to the pros. It sells a bunch of outs as well. It's really, again, one of five good boundary receivers who can get downfield. So Franklin being one of my favorite picks in round 10, I think. Standing by that. But Caleb, too. Out of all these QBs here, I would take the shot on Caleb. We know what Goff is. We know what Lawrence is now. And frankly, I don't think it's going to get better. Herbert, same thing. Tua, same thing. For Caleb, it's a mystery box, yes, but I think it's going to be a very good mystery box and a team that, for whatever Ryan Poles has not been doing the last few years, he is surrounding Caleb with talent from day one. I think that's a great thing to see. Rudman loves the snatch, but we all know Underdog rigs the contest for influencers. There you go. Of course, Fareed Shaheed last year, one of the biggest influencers out there, is the one who won it. But yeah, the likelihood is that somebody who either does content or watches content is going to win, I would say. That's what we saw last year. All right, so we have a 1551 here. I think at this point, Drake May is just a nice value. Poor man's Josh Allen, if you want to give him the generous comp. And frankly, with the team having Stafford, I need a guy who's going to be able to start and be out there from week one. No world where Drake May doesn't start week one being a top five pick. So Drake May is my QB2. And then I guess for Drake May here, we're going to have to chase, if we want to, chase stacking him with New England would be the outcome I would try to go with here, which is probably his most likely outcome. But again, still live for the Vikings to trade up for that pick. Still live to go number two to Washington, theoretically, even though the other day, I don't think I mentioned this on stream, Brian Kelly did say at the ALSU Pro Day, like, oh, Jaden Daniels going to Washington is going to be great. And like, so like, you know, does seem like either there's a big assumption there. Maybe Brian Kelly knows something. Of course, the LSU coach, or, you know, I don't know. But I think that Jaden Daniels goes to Washington. And I think if you're drafting big board teams, you should be regularly making the assumption that Caleb, Chicago, Jaden, Washington, Drake May, New England, Minnesota, and then J.J. McCarthy. You do to Minnesota too if you want. May reminds me more of Rodgers and Allen. The running would inherently make him not Rodgers. And Rodgers was such a pocket slinger. I don't see that. Rodgers is also always like less of a deep ball guy. I remember when I was at USC, it was one of the games where he completed like 25 straight passes. And it was all dink and dunk bullshit. It was just him being efficient running a West Coast offense. So I don't think that comp's correct personally. 2551. I mean, I'm still in the bag for Michael Mayer. I'm going to do that here. Michael Mayer, my tight end two. Team so far, Matthew Stafford and Drake May, QB. Running back, Joe Mixon, Raheem Mostert, Brian Robinson Jr., Chase Brown, Zach Charbonnet. Wide receiver, Puka Nacua, Drake London, Romo Dunze, Brian Thomas Jr., Christian Watson. Tight end, Sam Laporta, Michael Mayer. Brian Kelly was interviewed by Washington beat reporter, was asked about his fit in Washington, FYI context. Okay. In that particular question, because I didn't see the intro to the question, but maybe. Looking like it's shaking out to be a Parkinson draft. Now with this Michael Mayer ad, it's not. But yeah, fair enough. Just for the context about what I said about Drake May, obviously I don't have Aaron Rodgers college numbers in front of me. But yeah, Drake May, 10.1 attended air yards per temp. Higher than everybody else in the class besides Gavin Hardison, who I don't think will get drafted, even higher than Penix. So you're talking about a guy who's throwing it past the sticks every time. That is, like, to me, inherently not an Aaron Rodgers type. The comp for Drake May is like less athletic Josh Allen, I think. Maybe run slightly more Jameis Winston if you want to be disparaging to Drake May. People compare him to AR a little bit, which he's not as good of a runner as AR. Obviously, I think less good of an athlete too. But I could see the AR thing a little bit. He's a little bit inaccurate, but a willing deep ball thrower. Drake May, though, better in the short game than AR was. Drake May, honestly, not that much better. Throws of under 10 air yards. Drake May had a .06 EPA. For comparison's sake, Jay Daniels, .33. Caleb Williams, .2. McCarthy, .25. Bo Nix, .29. Penix, .23. So Drake May was really bad near the line of scrimmage. 10 to 20 air yards doesn't get much better. .26 EPA. Compared to .74 for Jaden, .88 for McCarthy, .92 for Nix. And Drake May's accuracy is legit an issue. They did change coaches this year, so maybe give him grace. But that's really, really bad accuracy numbers for Drake May. And downfield, he's okay. 46% completion rate there, compared to 54% for Caleb, 67% for Jaden. That is why I fucking love Jaden, man. But May, closer to McCarthy in terms of the deep ball accuracy / completion rate, 49% completion rate for McCarthy downfield. So some fun numbers there. I think it's a very clear picture of what Drake May is. For fantasy, no issue because he's taking deep shots. He's going to hit some of them. He takes deep shots the highest rate, 17% rate of throws 20 plus air yards. But, you know, like the actual play-to-play talent and accuracy and running an offense, I think that's going to be lacking, would be my guess. Don't mind Wandale at this spot to give me another shot at wide receiver, but I think we can make tight end feel a little bit better by taking Hunter Henry and giving me a little bit of correlation potentially with Drake May. So I'm going to do that. Three tight end build. Don't know that you need to go three tight ends when you have that bet on Laporta at pick 33, but I still want to have some correlation with Drake May. And again, do think New England most likely outcome still. The Minnesota, very much alive. I got some chats going, blah, blah, blah. Launching my YouTube channel after I win BBM 5, be on the lookout. Yeah, see, that's everybody's dream. That was what I think, like, Fareed had said he was going to do, and then he just, you know, chilling out. But you got to really capitalize fast, especially if you don't, like, have hooks. Like, Liam at least had some hooks from doing the Pete's content and stuff. So, like, he was already kind of, you know, sniffing around doing content. But, like, if you're going to win BBM, like, you better be doing content that next week because people are going to forget about you, like, immediately. I know it's respect to Fareed, but, like, you just got to – if that's what you want to do, you got to hit the ground running. Guess I don't see May running for 710 TDs like Allen. I see it more like 300 to 400. Look, I said it that the thing that stood out the most to me with May was that he ran a ton when he was really good the year before last. And this year he cut his rushing opportunity by quite a bit. Again, that could be the new coaching staff trying to tell him, hey, like, play it safe. But I'm going to read that a little bit more as, like, guy make a business decision because he knows he's going to be a top pick in the NFL draft. So I don't love seeing that. And Josh Allen, the one thing he has going for him every time is, like, reckless abandon, willing to run. Yeah, I understand. All right, I gotta point out some favorite picks. Should Zay Jones be a favorite pick right now? I think the assumption is Jacksonville adds somebody who's a rookie coming in as a boundary receiver, and that upsets his opportunity to take over for Ridley. But I think this is an okay spot for Zay Jones, and I am going to take him here. Just because I'm not thin at receiver, but I haven't done receiver in a while. So my team so far, Stafford, May at QB, Mixon, Mostert, Brian Robinson Jr., Chase Brown, Zach Charbonnet at running back, wide receiver, Puka, Drake London, Romo Dunze, Brian Thomas Jr., Christian Watson, Zay Jones, and a tight end, we are donezo, Sam Laporta, Michael Mayer, Hunter Henry. I made up for my sins a previous week tight end rooms with that one. Favorite picks these last few rounds. Round 13. Wait, we didn't do 12. No, I did 12, right? For 12, I think it would still probably be Charbonnet for me. For 13, I don't make it all my guys. 13 might be Musgrave. Really think that people who are worried about Tucker Kraft or think Tucker Kraft's going to be tight end one, incorrect. Musgrave is a freak athlete and can get downfield. Also, should be a better blocker once he wraps his head around that better, too. Musgrave would be one of those guys for me in week 13. Leggett, Marshawn Lloyd, though, not too far off. And I don't mind the bet on Kendre, though. It does feel like Kamara coming back to New Orleans, and it's going to make it tougher for Kendre to fully earn that role. In round 14, my favorite pick, Pearsall coming up, huh? Michael Mayer is one of them. Corley can get cheaper, so I wouldn't say it's him. You know, Baker, not a bad pick in round 14. I feel like, especially if you're taking Mike Evans early, you should be taking that bet on Baker. Mike Evans doesn't hit without Baker being there. Estime going at 169 here is kind of batshit. He's been going to the 190s and 200 in some rooms. But obviously, you guys know I'm in the bag for him. Jonnu Smith, probably my favorite pick around 15. Nice tight end play. Him being better than Durham Smythe, he can make touchdowns happen on one catch a game. I think that that's a lot of opportunity for him, that Miami offense. Don't know that I'd want to take him too much higher in ADP, but to me, another fine pick here. And really, if you went on a tight end run of Musgrave, Mayer, Jonnu, maybe you could go to four there, but I think that's a pretty good run. Late tight end is so underappreciated by people out there. Round 16, still like the shot on Dobbins. Dobbins can get a good outcome. He can go to the Chargers. He can go to the Raiders. He can go to the Dallas, and that could be things that matter for him. Noah Brown probably gets displaced by somebody for right now, though, in the hunt to be one of the best picks of this round. Tez Walker, I think, would be my pick, though. Tez Walker, the upside there, earned a lot of air yards, mostly because Drake May is a very willing downfield thrower. He wasn't great with it, but May wasn't most accurate, so maybe that's not on Tez Walker. Tez is a freak athlete as well, and he is, again, one of very few boundary receivers who can get downfield amidst the class people are talking themselves into, the Malik Washingtons and all that. Those guys are fine, but, like, downfield targets outside always gonna have the most value. Dobbins meeting with the Chiefs today. Oh, there we go. Would not be great for Pacheco. That definitely would be true. All right, 2563 here. Could use another running back for sure. Could take a third QB, and that would not be crazy either. I'm going to take the shot on J.J. McCarthy. Thinking this build, we could maybe, there's a shot that McCarthy is New England's QB, and then I'll get the correlation with Hunter Henry. Maybe some world where one of May or McCarthy goes to Vegas. I do think Penix to Vegas feels like the most alive to me, where you can compete with, you know, with Gardner Minshew. Minshew can win that job and it wouldn't feel that bad. And then Penix can come in and play hero ball if Minshew gets hurt at some point or is ineffective. But I like McCarthy more. As I've mentioned before, McCarthy, to me, a very good pick overall as the QB4 and a well-deserving QB4. Des Walker makes sense if he goes to New England with May. Yeah, that'd be interesting. That'd be interesting. They definitely could use a guy like him, especially with Kendrick Bourne, who's probably the closest approximation to a downfield receiver they have coming off the ACL. Like, not great. They just have a lot of bodies in that wide receiver room. They got rid of Parker, I guess, is the positive, but it's not, they have too many mediocre bodies in that wide receiver room, really. Big Penix is a great culture fit for Vegas nightlife. Perhaps he will. Perhaps he will be. He can run. Got to give him credit for that. I'm going to take cheapo DeMarcus Robinson here. Think it makes sense when I don't have a wide receiver 7 yet. I see a pick I like a little bit more on the screen. It's Tank Bigsby. He's not going to get come back to me, I don't think. But DeMarcus Robinson, when you have the bet on Stafford, don't have a bet on Kupp, I do like making that bet. Let me give the team a read, and we'll talk about favorite picks in these rounds as well. Stafford, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy at QB, running back, Joe Mixon, Raheem Mostert, Brian Robinson Jr., Chase Brown, and Zach Charbonnet. So again, a little thin at running back, though maybe not with where we took Mixon. At wide receiver, Puka Nacua, Drake London, Romo Dunze, Brian Thomas Jr., Christian Watson, Zay Jones, DeMarcus Robinson. And at tight end, Sam Laporta, Michael Mayer, Hunter Henry. And yeah, this would have been a build, I suppose, where that Rams tight end would have made sense. But we're getting tournament leverage on all the teams that'll just take a late Rams tight end, I suppose. Mediocre Bodies is my college nickname. That's a good one. He's got to be such a badass, you know, having a street name is his real name and all that. There you go. Mims averaged on... Oh, we're talking about Denzel Mims? Or Marvin Mims? Which Mims are we talking about? Because knowing the chat, you could easily be talking about Denzel Mims, and I would not be surprised. We got Rondale. We've got Arizona slot guys present and past going this round. Dortch, honestly, Dortch finds a way to have at least one spike week game every year. So I get the logic taking him. Rondale, to me, still an undervalued part of that Atlanta stack. I did not get a QB today. Where did Kirk Cousins go? I feel like I never had a shot at him. Kirk went 126. So the guy got Kyle Pitts and Bijan. All right, fair enough. Glad he went to a good home. That's what we say when somebody actually has correlation with the QB and takes him. As the kids say, this team fucks, except Watson. Thank you. Look, Christian Watson, as your wide receiver 5, I'm never going to be mad at that. Honestly, I would be perfectly okay with Watson still as a wide receiver 4, 3 in some builds. Is there one guy or a couple in the top 100 you're absolutely out on? There's probably more than a couple. In top 100, let me see if I can go through. Out on would be nobody in these first few rounds I'm totally out on. Let me make sure I can see that my pick is coming up. Smell the thing moved all the way over here. There we go. All right. On the clock here, let me make my pick. I mean, I guess if there's ever a time to make a bet on Kendrick Bourne when I'm flirting with New England bullshit, that's probably it. Though, honestly, this is one time I don't have a bet on a Cleveland back like Jerome Ford, and I can do that with Deonta Foreman. So I'm actually going to take Deonta Foreman here. My RB6, I think that feels pretty good, and I would say we are done at running back at this juncture. Anyway, top 100 guys, I don't take at all. I haven't taken, I don't think, a single share of Travis Etienne. I just don't like where he's priced right now. People really think he was great last year when, again, the Jaguars showed the will to not want to use him as much. Then when Tank Bigsby was awful and was like unluckily bad, but was also actually bad. Then they went back to Etienne. Then when they got Trust and the other guys in that backfield, they got away from him again. I just think Etienne keeps getting priced. Like, he's an Antonio Gibson type where people are going to remember the good days a little bit too much. So Etienne would be one of those guys. Kenneth Walker, I don't love this spot. Really think that him, he should be balanced down a little bit more. It's a new coaching staff. New coaching staff sometimes quickly fall out of love with the previous regime's bell cow. We saw it in Houston. Walker and Pierce have a lot more in common than people want to give credit to. So Walker, to me, right here, to be one of my least favorites as well. Frankly, Mahomes, I really don't like that much, but, you know, whatever. I'm on the clock, though, and I am going to take Kendrick Bourne. My wide receiver 8, a stunning end to a draft here. We've stacked Patriots or theoretical Patriots. Final team here, Matthew Stafford, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, Joe Mixon, Raheem Mostert, Brian Robinson Jr., Chase Brown, Zach Charbonnet, and Deontay Foreman to close out at running back. Wide receiver, we got Puka Nacua, Drake London, Romo Dunze, Brian Thomas Jr., Christian Watson. Then we dialed off the position. Came back late. That is what I would say you have to do if you are going to do a zero RB kind of build or an adjacent one like I did today. Zay Jones, DeMarcus Robinson, Kendrick Bourne closes out. Both guys correlated late. I like that. And Zay Jones right now underpriced. If the Jags get left without one of these top outside receivers, if they don't get Brandon Ayuk, Zay Jones is coming into a pretty good role. Sam Laporta, Michael Mayer, Hunter Henry at tight end. Don't think we needed 3 tight ends, but we did it. Last couple rounds here, my favorite picks. Did Brendan Rice get drafted? Brendan Rice, if he's going around 20, that's my favorite pick around 20. He was actually good. Again, I've said it a million times, watch a Caleb Williams highlight reel, watch the guy who's catching balls from over again. It's Brendan Rice. Brendan Rice is really good. In round 19, I think Foreman's a good pick that I took here in round 19. Don't hate Bryce Young in round 19 either. Again, you just got to buy in on the fact that he gets the Baker Mayfield glow up with Dave Canales. A.T. Perry, not a bad pick either. Michael Thomas being gone. A.T. Perry was actually one of very few guys in football, even with lower volume, over a 1 EPA flat per target. And then hold on. I want to cap this out. I said favorite pick in every round. I don't think I did every round. In round 18, favorite pick would be Noah Fant. Again, I like late tight end a lot. You guys know that. Backstop to that would be probably a Malik Washington. I think that he's an okay one. And then Foreman, I think I mentioned already, but realistically, no Fant. Now I'm seeing him would be it. Round 17. Dobbins, Irving, those two. Bucky was so unathletic at the combine, but that'd be a good one. And Audric Estime at 195, also okay. And there we go. I think that's the draft. So, guys, one more. Don't think I've ever clicked Dylan Labbe. Dylan Labbe could luck box a good spot. Dylan Labbe, more athletic Danny Woodhead, and people love guys like that. For whatever reason, they really love shifty white guys who play a position where are not a lot of shifty white guys. Pass stack, maybe the lowest owned stack you need. Cheering for you. Thanks for the stream and thoughts. Shout out Sip here. Appreciate you guys here. Appreciate all the regulars. You guys are very kind being here every day. Of course, if you're new around here, new drafts every day, Monday to Friday at 11 a.m. Of course, talking about the news, talking about football. Didn't talk about Carson Wentz going to the Chiefs. QB controversy, ? Obviously, every day here. Show up. Great community. Appreciate all of them being a part of it. You too can be a part of it too by just subscribing here, hit the like button. Of course, if you want to support the show, hit the join button now below. $4.99 a month. You get access to the premium Squirt Squad Discord where I ping about draft availabilities. I said today there are 4 spots available. We've got a few people in off of that, but also Spags rankings after the draft. That'll be coming from me. That's premium content. It'll be updated and also it'll be a lot to read through with all the data and of course my takes and all of that coming out. So fun stuff coming up. Probably promo code SPLASH on there. Double your deposit. They want us to do some different language because I think they're changing the deposit thing on there, but get up to $100 in deposit matched by Underdog, I believe is the read. But use promo code SPLASH on Underdog. If you're new on there, check it out. Probably is my baby. Best way to support Splash Play is support Splash Play. Second best way to support Probably. So check out the 7-day free trial on the App Store by searching Probably. I will leave it in the pinned comments too. And also 50% off with the promo code SPLASH at probably.com/subscribe. MLB bets looking good. NBA bets looking good as well, of course. And it's been a great one. Last month, over 20 units, including an over 10-unit day that made up for a fucking bad run on Friday. So Probably's data works and really... It's the best way to just give yourself a shot to stay live at betting. And that's really the main thing I could say for it. And of course, Stochastic as well, 50% off on Stochastic with the promo code SPLASH. Thank you to the Squirt Squad. All these people helped me put on the show. Get your name on here as well. Hitting that join button down below for $4.99 a month. And of course, I even updated with Steel City here from yesterday. And today I will not have to read these names like a fool. So I'm doing much better on that front. Game responsibly and do this too. Like, keep your prostate healthy. Be like Daffy Duck. I'll be back tomorrow with more. Enjoy your days, guys. Good luck. Bye.